Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to an honest review of 2005's The Devil's Rejects, directed by Rob Zombie. There's going to be some spoilers ahead, so you have been warned. And Kofi, tell us about The Devil's Rejects, please.
The Devil's Rejects are a family of fucking weirdos because of the horrific ways they murder people for absolutely no reason. We start off the film in a proper disgraceful farmhouse that they live in.
Oh, right off the bat, mate, this is one of my favourite films of all times. I wasn't particularly a fan of House of a Thousand Corpses. I don't think it's the greatest film in the world. This follows on from that. It follows the three surviving members of the murdering family, the Firefly family, who have been nicknamed the Devil's Rejects by the locals, and ultimately it's their story of being on the run from the police now, and along the way they just happen to engage in a lot more murder.
Yeah, essentially it took a lot of influence from the kind of Bonnie and Clyde kind of storyline of putting together a ragtag family of killers who eventually in the story you kind of start to root for, because the law that's going after them becomes corrupted themselves.
Well, it blurs the line between who is good and bad, really. I mean, to begin with, it's very much like killers versus police.
Yes.
But then the sheriff starts to turn a bit sadistic, and it then becomes difficult to know which side to root for, and it really does blur those lines. I also personally like the way it's shot, where it like freezes. The very start of the film, it has like a almost like comic book set up.
Yeah.
But then throughout the film, the way it's shot, it kind of freezes on people and then flicks to the next person in a very like comic book-esque style, and it's kind of an interesting way to pause during scenes, particularly where there's like a lot of tension, and then it like moves to someone else's point of view, and I quite like how they did that.
So the first sort of port of call, I guess, in the film is that the family relation between the surviving members. So you've got Captain Spaulding, played by Sid Haig, who's the clown, and Otis and Baby are his kids. They're all fucking great. Otis is probably my favourite character of the three, played by Bill Moseley. He's got some fucking cracking lines and scenes in this film.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Spaulding, you know. I think Spaulding's the best character.
Oh, Spaulding's
just because he's such a dick.
Yeah.
Particularly the scene with the kid in the car, right, where he's just like, he gets the woman out of the car and he's robbing it and there's a kid in it and he's just like, you like clowns? And he's like, no. And he's like, well, if you don't have a good reason why you like clowns, I'm going to come back and kill your whole fucking family. And he's like, this 8-year-old child just staring at him mortified. I just love
it. Don't we make you laugh? Aren't we fucking funny?
I just love Spaulding. He's so good.
Yeah, we first meet him, he's like kind of staying like in some like fucking shithole in the middle of ass fuck America.
Well, when you first meet him, he's having a very good time, but it turns out to just be a dream, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And he's actually in some shithole.
Yeah.
She offers him more anal sex, and he's just like, shit, bitch, my dick's still stinging from last night. Lovely. Out the bed in his tighty whities that are covered in shit and piss stains, and what a top guy.
Fucking legend. Yeah, and he's being like called by Otis and Baby to be like, oh shit, right, we're on the run now, we need you to come and help us. And that's when sort of the three of them kind of make their way towards a motel. They run into like a group of just innocent people, kind of like holiday makers, I guess. And we get some banging scenes here where Otis and Baby just take over the room and start just fucking harassing them, terrorizing them. God, get the class fucking Chinese, Japanese, dirty knees, look at these.
Is that like one guy who is like proper fucking monotone? And it just made me laugh when he gets shot in the head, and just before he does, he goes, Roy, help. You have to put it on the screen, man. It's so funny.
I love how when she's doing her Chinese-Japanese thing, Otis is like, hey, Ron, are you looking at my sister's tits? And he's like, no. And he's like,
why not? You a faggot?
Yeah.
She's like, wow.
You got this hot young piece of ass shaking his shit right in front of you.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
I actually think it stands up quite well as just a solo film.
Oh, totally agree.
Like, if you haven't seen House of a Thousand Corpses, it's not at all necessary.
Yeah.
It paints that kind of narrative at the start, you know, they've killed a lot of people and the police are coming after them or whatever. So it kind of lets it be its own standalone film.
I did like that Danny Trejo came out of nowhere, though.
Yes, Danny Trejo!
The fuck?
And then he's, like, kicking around with a DDP, Diamond Dallas Page.
Not doing his yoga, luckily.
Yeah. Not saving Jake the Snake Roberts' life in this one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they're going around. I think they're calling themselves the Unholy Two. The sheriff decides to, like, hire them to try and track down, the Fireflies.
The sheriff is really angry at the Firefly family because don't they kill his brother?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, in the kind of the backstory.
That changes him from, like, being a normal police officer to just, like, he wants revenge on them, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, it's kind of, like, twisted because he sort of takes on the role that he is working for God, that he's like the arm of justice for the Lord.
I am your arm of justice.
It's like he's like a religious fanatic in a way, but he's using his religion as an excuse to turn into a maniac. And he, at the start of the film, he captures the mother Firefly and keeps her like locked up, and eventually, after a few interrogations, just decides to fucking stab her in prison. So yeah, he's now as unlikable, arguably, or even more unlikable than the rejects themselves. So it's like it switches the play like halfway through the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that.
Yeah, I agree.
This random guy Clavon, who's a fucking chicken fucker as well. He's a good actor, isn't he?
Oh my god, the chicken fucking scene. You better not be buying these chickens to fuck him. Do I look like a goddamn chicken fucker to you? Oh yeah, which we also got here, yeah, because eventually after the motel segment, they end up arriving at a strip club where they meet a few old pals and we spend a bit of time there. Before we get into that, I'm going to pull it back to the motel bit, because we've got a mint scene where Otis takes the guys out into the desert to like dig up some like old guns from a few years ago. Like Otis just ends up killing them both, and he does the fucking brilliant like "I am the devil and I am here to do the devil's work" line. Oh, which is just brilliant. It's like Charles Manson inspired as well, during the Sharon Tate murders. It was not that exact quote, but it was said relatively the same as that by Tex, the member of the Manson family. And I just think it was a brilliant scene, so I had to get it in.
He makes quite a few nods in his work to Charles Manson, doesn't he, which is quite interesting. But yeah, I clocked that one as well. I like that scene's pretty good actually, where they try and fight, you know, they try and escape after they realise he's probably going to kill him, and they then try and fight him, so he just kills him anyway.
Yeah,
I like how he kills him. He's got like one on the floor with the gun, he stabbed one in the leg, the other one's coming towards him, and he kind of has to wrestle the gun to shoot him, and then just smashes the other one's face.
Yeah, he's talking to him about God, isn't he? I did actually like that scene a fair bit, because he's like, can you pray to your God? And if you can, just tell him to come and like smite me with lightning. I'm waiting. He's not fucking coming, is he?
Yeah. He just rips the piss out of him, doesn't he? Yes, so now we'll get to the strip club.
And unfortunately, not zombie strippers.
No, sadly not. Where's Jenna Jameson with her decaying tits when you need her?
Maybe Tito Ortiz was just guarding the door too well. And
oh my god, that's a throwback to like 50 episodes ago. Oh my god. Must mention also, soundtrack to this film. Oh, 10 on 10. Fucking
ten
love this song.
10
on 10, yes.
I saw this girl out the other day, right, and she was really attractive.
She was a 10 on 10. 10 on 10.
Oh god. This review is a fucking 10 on 10 so far, but it can get better. Here's how.
That was a 10 on 10 segue.
Anyway, a strip club. So we spend a bit of time here, and like Sid Haig ends up just fucking trying to bang some of his mate's coke.
He's just the best.
But I'll tell you who isn't the best. Oh, their mate Charlie. He sells out the rejects to the Unholy Two and to the sheriff. And that scene, I fucking really like it, because when Danny Trejo and DDP show up, they like slit a woman's throat, but there's just a great like acoustic song playing. It just shows you all of the raid while that song plays.
Yeah,
I just think it's properly well put together, the scene.
It makes how they've directed it just so much more powerful, and it just works brilliantly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now the sheriff has got an opportunity to torture these guys.
He fucking proper does, like, doesn't he?
What does he do?
He staples pictures to each of their chests of people that they've murdered. He smashes glasses over their heads. He burns the house down, and then he lets the girl go so she can get chased down by him. He's a fucking idiot though, isn't he? Because Burnt Face Man comes out of fucking nowhere and rescues them all, because he didn't burn the house and watch them die. He just left them there.
Bless Tiny, because he's missing at the beginning, because Tiny's still out killing women from House of a Thousand Corpses.
Ah, I see.
They tell you at the very beginning, they're like, where's Tiny? he? And they're like, he went out last night, which basically means he went out to kill a load of women.
Wow.
And you see him at the very start as the police cars are coming in. He's in a bush, like dragging a woman by her mm-hmm. feet. Yeah, he then returns at the right time and is there obviously to help.
And helps them by breaking the sheriff's neck, which means that the rejects can finally get away. And they're all like a bit fucked up from the torture of the sheriff. And they are now, Stuart, driving into the distance. Take it from here.
And this ending scene is absolute film perfection for me. They're all beaten, they're all battered, they're all a bloody mess from what the sheriff has done to them on the road. Lynyrd Skynyrd Freebird starts to play, and it's the ultimate fucking piece of music to convey the emotion of that freedom that you would be feeling driving down that road with the top down. And they're driving down the road, the scene starts flicking back to almost like their happy family memories of their time together, and then they hit a police roadblock, and the police are there ready to just open fire on them, and they stop the car. They just decide, fuck this, we're gonna go out how we decide we want to go out. So they all load up their weapons, ready for one final fight. And at this moment, you almost feel empathy for these deplorable human beings. You can't help but feel something towards their like fighting spirit, and feel sad that they're inevitably about to go out and that's the end of them. Baby just screams, motherfuckers, and they drive into their inevitable fate, and the film just freezes on each character, and you just hear these gunshots ringing out, and it just creates, to me, this iconic conclusion to the film. And I think the way they go out here in this scene is just an absolute masterpiece for me, and everything about it is fantastic. And that, my friends, is why I love this film so much.
Genuinely don't think we can put it any better than that. All around, a really solid cast, great story, some brilliant memorable scenes and lines of dialogue, great soundtrack, and well edited and put together. So yeah, overall, definitely my favourite Rob Zombie film, and probably one of my favourite films we've reviewed on the podcast.
I do think quite a few of the scenes were very good. The acting was good. The editing was a bit strange again for me, just because of the random transitions that had appeared out of nowhere.
Okay, yeah.
I do agree with the end scene that you guys are talking about. I do think that was like a very well put together scene that made you feel you wanted it to keep on going. It was really well put together, but the rest of it, like, it just wasn't to my personal taste.
And that is perfectly fine, because you know what? It's 2021 and you can say and do what you want, lads. Apart from necrophilia,
everyone,
rape, wearing your husband's mask of skin.
Oh, yeah, fucking hell.
And asking for Tutti fucking Frutti.
Oh my god. Can we stop for food?
Tutti fucking Frutti.
There's no fucking ice cream in your fucking future. So overall, that was our honest thoughts, feelings, and, well, it was just our honest thoughts and feelings about 2005's The Devil's Rejects. If you'd like us to cover House of a Thousand Corpses and Three from Hell, which are the prequel and the sequel to this film, down the line, let us know in the comments. And until next Friday, have a good week, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye. Should we stop? I can't remember what I was going to say. Should we stop?
No, that's going to be...
Yeah, it's
going to
be...
That's going in.
That's like just fading out right at the end.
The fuck's this? Slick.